Om Agnatimanandas Yaginanjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Didati Swapadantikam Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Yesterday we were reading about how Srimati Radharani's love is even, although Krishna's love is unlimited, still Srimati Radharani's love overwhelms Krishna. Now the question is, now we're going to speak about the second, that is, Krishna is the reservoir of all sweetness. Those who are attending or attended His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's class have learned about Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Stayi Bhava. So in Vibhava, there are different divisions known as Alambana and Udipan. Alambana is divided into Ashraya and Vishaya. So these seem very technical, but they're quite normal. Everyone has these experiences. Just like, for instance, in the relationship of the cowherd boys with Krishna. So the cowherd boys are the reservoirs of Sakya Rasa, or fraternal love for Krishna in different varieties. So they're called the Ashraya, or the reservoir of love. And Krishna, as the young cowherd boy with a peacock feather, and sometimes he has, what does he has in his hand? His left hand. He doesn't even know which hand to put it into. But he has some yogurt and fruit salad in his left hand. When Brahma came and he heard all the demigods playing different music and dancing because Krishna had just killed the Agasura demon and they're all praising Krishna. But Brahma, when he saw this cowherd boy, they're all praising him, but he's so uncultured, he's holding in his left hand fruit salad and yogurt. He doesn't even know what hand to put the fruit salad into. And they're claiming that this is God. But this young cowherd boy with a bugle in his sash and a flute and a stick for herding the calves and a rope for binding their legs, this is the object of affection, or the Vishaya, for those who have Ashraya, cowherd boy. And what is their Anubhavas for the cowherd boys? Anubhava means that which follows that particular mood. So when you see Krishna as a cowherd boy, holding a flute or binding the calves with the rope, there are certain Anubhavas that follow, or activities that follow in relation to Krishna. Does anyone know some of the Anubhavas for a cowherd boy? Fighting with Krishna. Sometimes they wrestle with each other. That's Anubhava. Or sometimes they dance. And they play their flutes together. Those are all Anubhavas. Sometimes they take their lunch bags and they throw them from one cowherd boy to another. That's also Anubhava. These are visible, voluntary activities. And then there is the Sattvika Bhavas. Sometimes the cowherd boys have tears in their eyes when they think of Krishna. And sometimes their bodies shiver when they're dancing in ecstasy. So these are called Sattvika Bhavas. And Vyabhichari Bhavas are just like when Krishna was... the forest fire came and was about to devour all the cowherd boys and all the calves. So the cowherd boys, although it's described differently in different places, they went in front of Krishna to protect him, to save him from death. So this is called Vyabhichari Bhava. Sometimes the cowherd boys, when they saw Krishna was in the grips of the coils of the Kaliya serpent, they fell down unconscious on the banks of the river Jamuna. So this is also Vyabhichari Bhava, seemingly adverse moods born out of their loving feelings for Krishna. And Stai Bhava is the permanent ecstasy that one has, namely that of a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. One thinks oneself, instead of thinking oneself to be coming from, you know, Brussels or whatever. When I was thinking to myself, I'm a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. I was born in the village of Vrindavan as a cowherd boy. And my parents are so-and-so, Govardhan, or someone like that. So these are the five different bhavas, and when they combine together, it produces rasa. So in this, in the Madhurya rasa, Krishna is a beautiful young boy around the Kaishura age, around 15 years old, or maybe younger, depends what time the relationship is. But generally, eternally, he's around 15 years old, and he holds a flute, and he's dressed in all different, what's called a kalpa. Kalpa means he's dressed almost like a newly decorated elephant. He has a yellow dhoti on, and he has sometimes different types of helmets made out of sometimes flowers, and sometimes different types of cloth. And he has his flute, and he's the Vishaya for the Madhurya Rasa. And the gopis especially, headed by Srimati Radharani, are the Ashraya of these feelings. Their Anubhavas are kissing sometimes, or dancing, or holding hands, or making quarrels with each other. Some of the gopis especially the principal Astasakis, they sometimes make quarrels between Radha and Krishna, then they try to get them to make up. Sometimes they take Krishna's side in the quarrel. Sometimes they make Srimati Radharani's side. Sometimes they make arrangements so that Radha and Krishna can meet together secretly. So these are also Anubhavas of the Madhurya Rasa. So Chaitanya Lord Krishna was observing, number one, that Srimati Radharani, her love and feelings for me overwhelms the whole universe. That I have love for everyone, but her love is so intense for me that it overwhelms not only the whole universe, but it even overwhelms me. Sometimes it's said that Krishna was standing there, and there was many Brahmins standing, offering him prayers. On another side, there was the dead Sankarsura demon lying on the ground. Another Balaram was creating a nice breeze. And behind a bush was Srimati Radharani. So as soon as Srimati Radharani appeared, immediately Krishna's attention went to her, despite so many other rasas being manifested. Now here, the next desire is that Krishna is a reservoir of all sweetness. He's so sweet that when he was in Dwarka as Vasudev Krishna, he saw his reflection in the ground. Actually not on the ground, but in the floor, because the floors there were quite polished. And the mirror-like marble floors, he saw his reflection, and he fell in love with himself. So we shouldn't think that's... I mean, most of us, if we see the reflection, we'll also fall in love with ourselves. So Krishna also fell in love with himself. But the difference is, when he fell in love with himself, he took the form of Lord Chaitanya. When we fall in love with ourselves, we take this form, which is known as Mudha Avatar. But he took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Avatar. So there's a slight difference between it. Because Krishna has unlimited, just like there are 64 qualities, beginning with Krishna has beautiful bodily features, he has all auspicious lines on his body, and most of us know the last four. Besides, unlimited universes emanate from his bodies, the pores of his body. And he has all mystic powers. He gives liberation to all the enemies that he kills. Krishna has inconceivable opulences. But the last four opulences are that he has wonderful beauty that not only attracts the residents of Vrindavan, but even attracts all the Narayans in Vaikuntha. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in this Adi Lila, we hear a Vasudev, Narayan, Sankarshan, they're all saying, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya. That all the expansions of Krishna, who are Krishna himself, they're all attracted by Krishna. Because he has such wonderful beauty that when Krishna appears in his beauty, that, as we've heard, that the rivers Jamuna stops flowing and the mountains like Govardhan become like liquid and begin to flow. Krishna plays on his flute, and when he plays on the flute, that even the birds from the sky, they fall out of the sky in ecstasy. And Krishna is surrounded by wonderful devotees imbued with ever new love of God. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking in near Orissa, he was going on pilgrimage, then the Mohammed governor, the Mohammed governor asked, who is this person? The Nawab Hussein Shah, he was asking Rupa Goswami and his other leaders, who is this personality? He's surrounded by so many people, they're all following him. And they're not paying him anything. Or he's not paying them anything. So who could it be? So one of his assistants said, oh, he's nothing, don't worry, he's just some magician. But he said, no, how is it possible, without paying all these people, not giving them anything, still they're following him, he must be someone special. He might even be God. So the point is that Krishna, he's so wonderful that all these residents of Vrindavan, they selflessly serve him simply because they're overwhelmingly attracted by him. And Krishna has wonderful pastimes. His pastimes are unparalleled, whether his pastimes is a young child in the lap of Mother Jasoda, or the pastimes of stealing butter, or the pastimes of growing up and a little bit, lifting Govardhan Hill, or killing the demons, or so many different pastimes, the Rasa dance. Most of the times we don't hear very much about the Rasa dance, but just like, for instance, in the Rasa dance, if we read the descriptions, it's the most amazing pastime. How there are at least 16,000 gopis, 16,108 gopis, and they're all participating in the Rasa dance. From their singing alone emanated, it said, 28,000 ragas and raginis. Just, they created all the ragas and raginis just by their singing. Ragas are the different melodies. Their dancing was extraordinary. They were dancing sometimes on one finger, on one hand, doing loops. They were, all the gymnastic exercises that we ever heard about were all manifested during this Rasa dance. And it lasted one night of Brahma. 4,300,000 years. So this is where that song came from, if you heard it. I could have danced all night. They didn't realize how long the night was. So this is amazing pastimes. So Krishna has these unlimited sweetness that attracts all the worlds. But due to Srimati Radharani being the Ashraya of Madhurya Rasa, she's able to actually taste the sweetness of Krishna even more than Krishna can taste his own sweetness. When Krishna saw his reflection on the floor of Dwarka, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy, and he said, I quote, that I'd like to embrace this form of Lord Krishna just like Srimati Radharani is able to embrace him. So because he couldn't embrace himself, therefore he took the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One note is that this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, the Sankirtan movement, which is coming down to us through disciple succession, this is our opportunity to come to the same platform of Vipralamba Seva, or feeling of love and separation. That this is what our acharyas teach us. To quote from the Krishna book, you've probably heard, this is chapter, now I think it's 35, it used to be 34. The gopis' feelings of separation. So this is very nice instruction for all of us, which gives us some idea of what this is talking about. It is said that the gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with the rasa dance at night. It was only 4,300,000,000 years. So they wanted to associate with him and enjoy his company during the daytime also. When Krishna went to the forest with his cowherd boys and the calves, the gopis could not physically take part, but their hearts went with him. And because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy his company through strong feelings of separation. To acquire the strong feeling of separation is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciple succession of Goswamis. That when we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can also associate with him like the gopis through strong feelings of separation. Krishna's transcendental form, his qualities, his pastimes, his entourage are all identical with him. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service, and devotional service to Krishna in feelings of separation elevates one to the highest perfectional level, to the level of the gopis. It is stated in Srinivasacharya's prayers to the 6 Goswamis that they gave up the material opulence and princely status of life and went to Vrindavan, where they lived like ordinary mendicants, begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Srimati Radharani, feeling separation from Krishna. So those who are in the Gaudiya, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should also feel the separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his entourage. The spiritual master should elevate the devotees to the highest devotional level, feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaged in devotional service is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So which of these 9 processes is feeling separation? Anyone know? What are the 9 processes of devotional service? Good, that's it. So, I'm sure someone said it somewhere. Which is the process of the feeling of separation? Is it Shravanam? Smaranam, yes. Smaranam. Smaranam is the process of feeling separation from Krishna. Smaranam in devotional service, which, as I said before, has 5 different levels. It comes after hearing, and then chanting, and then smaranam. Smaranam, there's remembrance, there's absorption, there's meditation, there's anusmriti, constant remembrance, and finally samadhi. So at first, remembrance of Krishna proceeds interruptedly, and then finally at the stage of absorption, it becomes steady, and in the stage of meditation expands. The stage of anusmriti, it constantly expands and remains steady in its expansion. And at the stage of samadhi, one enters into what's called, one realizes sampatti das, or the perfection of one's life, one's particular relationship with Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how to worship Krishna in feelings of separation, especially in his last years at Jagannath Puri. After Advaita Acharya wrote one sonnet, he didn't go to Jagannath Puri that year, but he sent one message to Lord Chaitanya, which was delivered to him. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this sonnet, he slightly smiled. And when Swarup Damodar heard the sonnet, he became morose. The sonnet went something like this, that sometimes the dancing master brings the puppet there, but now rice is available everywhere in the marketplaces of Navadvip. Therefore, there's no real need for the vendor to come here and sell rice. He can now go away. The puppet master could have the puppet go away. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he smiled slightly, and Swarup Damodar, he became morose. And everyone else was wondering, what is this sonnet about? So they asked Swarup Damodar, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is this sonnet? What is this Advaita Acharya? What was he talking about? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, sometimes he called me here, and now he's telling me to go away. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasy at that time increased unlimitedly, and his feelings of separation intensified into that of madness. Day and night he was feeling separation from Krishna as a madman. Sometimes he'd sleep. When he would go to sleep, he'd wake up and then start rubbing his face against the walls of the Gambira, trying to get out so he can join Krishna somewhere. And sometimes when he, even if all the walls, all the doors were locked, all the windows were locked, somehow or another he'd get out of the Gambira and he'd go where the cows were, and he fell down one time and all the limbs of his body went into his body. Try to imagine that. And all the, his both arms went into his body and both legs went into his body, and he appeared as a golden pumpkin lying on the ground, and all the cows, they started to come and lick him. So finally they were looking everywhere for him, and they found he was lying on the ground and all the cows were surrounding him. So they tried to get the cows away, but they refused to give up his company. So they had to force the cows, and then they started to chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes he'd be walking on the banks, or not on the banks, in the Athpuri, and he saw one Govardhan Chattaka. Is that how you pronounce? Parvata. Parvata means hill. And he said, there is Govardhan, the best of all the hills, the best of all the mountains, that this hill, it gives nice fresh grasses to the cows and to the calves. Govardhan provides everything for the cowherd boys. They provide minerals for their decorations, fresh water and caves for the pastimes, that this is Govardhan, the best of all the devotees. And so he began to run at the speed of the mind towards Govardhan Hill. So everyone's wondering, what happened to Lord Chaitanya? He's running at the speed of the mind. And then his whole body erupted in ecstasy. From the pores of his body, they erupted like kadamba flowers. And blood and perspiration began to flow from the pores of his body simultaneously. And then his whole body became stunned, and he fell on the ground unconscious. And finally, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, the other devotees, they caught up with him, and they found him unconscious on the ground. Bhagavan Acharya, who is lame, he was trying to follow them along with Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri. So this time Lord Chaitanya's mind went to Vrindavan. And there he heard Krishna playing on his flute, and all the gopis appeared there, very nicely decorated. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw that Krishna and Srimati Radharani, they were entering into a cave, And all the gopis were asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help them pick flowers for a garland for Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Time, Paramananda Puri arrives at the spot. Swarup Damodar Maharaj was there. And they saw that Lord Chaitanya was unconscious. So they bathed his body and they chanted Hare Krishna, and he came to half external conscious. So Paramananda Puri said, why have you done this? Why have you come here like this? So he said, well, I just came here to, you know, I was there in Krishna's pastimes. I was seeing him, and now you've all come here and you've disturbed me. You've taken me out of Krishna's pastimes. You've brought me back here. So then they all felt really quite bad about the whole situation. And then Lord Chaitanya came to full external consciousness again, and he saw that, everyone's here. Just like, and they decided that they all went to the ocean at Jagannath Puri and they bathed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's final pastimes were full of madness, relishing the sweetness of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So no one could enjoy the pastimes and the sweetness of Krishna in the same way as Srimati Radharani. So this is Lord Krishna's second desire, how to be in the position of Srimati Radharani, feeling this intense separation, and therefore relishing Krishna's association, the association of his devotees, on an unequal level. So we ourselves were in the disciple succession of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, as Prabhupada writes. So it's also our job to come to this level of feelings of separation, Vipalamba Seva. But we do it by service. It is not that we have to do something extraordinary like the Sahajiyas. Sahajiyas, sometimes they think the way of spiritual elevation is that we'll cry in ecstasy, we'll roll on the ground, we'll exhibit all the sattvika bhavas, and in this way we'll elevate ourselves to the transcendental position. But our level, our method, is very simple. As Srila Prabhupada once wrote to me in 1969, he said that the boys and girls of your country, they're very good souls. That's why they've taken birth in such a nice country. Now, if they simply engage themselves in Krishna consciousness, that will be the finishing touch for all their nice qualities. That here in San Francisco, in just 2 weeks, we've just had a Rath Yatra here in San Francisco, and the boys and girls, 10,000 of them, were dancing and chanting in full spiritual ecstasy. That I've heard that in New York, that in just 2 weeks they've distributed 3,000 back to Godheads, and that in Buffalo you're also distributing back to Godhead very nicely. So please continue in this way, and your success in life and Krishna consciousness is assured, as Krishna sees that you're working seriously to bring his other children back to the spiritual kingdom. Then he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. In other words, all we do is have to do whatever service we've been given in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, and at the same time try to remember Krishna, especially by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this will elevate anyone to the highest perfectional level of feeling separation from Krishna while engaged in devotional service. There's no need for any great intelligence. There's no need for any particular skill in doing anything. The only thing is a little sincerity to try to remember Krishna and do some service to spread his holy name. Whatever service the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna have given us in disciple succession. And the result will be, it's not that, as Prabhupada once told one devotee, he said, don't try to become a great devotee, just try and become a devotee. We don't have to become great devotees, we just have to become devotees. And even if no one else is noticing that we're thinking of Krishna and love of God and feeling separation from him, Krishna will actually and all his associates. They'll understand, and they'll reveal themselves to us as we try to remember them more and more. That remembrance probably has given us a very simple formula for coming to the state of constantly remembering Krishna. In the verse 1857, the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Chaitasya sarva karmani mayi sanyasi matparaha buddhi yogam upashitya matshitak satatam bhava. That in all activities and for the results depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. And Prabhupada writes that this word matparaha is very significant, that one should have no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And while acting in such a way, one should think only that I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada says, one who thinks like that, then naturally he'll think of Krishna. And that is perfect Krishna consciousness. That if we simply try to do something to please Krishna, and if that activity has been given to us by Krishna's representatives, then the result is that naturally we'll think of Krishna. And that is perfect Krishna consciousness. We don't have to become great scholars. We don't have to worry whether or not I'm reading enough of the books, or while we're doing our service, we don't have to lament that I'm not reading, or when we're reading, we don't have to worry about whether I'm doing if I should be doing some service. All we do is whatever we're doing, to think of how Krishna, through his representatives, have given me the servants. Therefore, I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And I'm doing this because Krishna will be pleased. Prabhupada once wrote to me that also. He said that while you're doing your service, you should think of how what you're doing, how Krishna is very much pleased by it. And then he said, it would be good if you went all around the world and tried to spread Krishna consciousness, preach Krishna consciousness. So that's all we have to do. And the result is we'll think of Krishna in separation. Of course, we won't be separated from Krishna, because right now we're separated from Krishna when we don't think about him. But as soon as we start thinking about him, then actually Krishna is there, but the feeling at first will be that of separation. And as that separation increases more and more, one comes to the perfectional level. Hey Rad, hey Braja Devi ke Chalalite, hey Nanda Suno Kutaha. Srila Prabhupada said that the six Goswamis, they wandered everywhere. Hey Rad, hey my dear Shrimati Radharani, Braja Devi ke, O Queen of Vrindavan, hey Lalite, O Lalita, hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, where are you? Shri Govardhana Padapatale, Kalindi Vane Kutaha, are you by the Govardhan Hill or are you by the river Jamuna? In this way, the six Goswamis, Go Shantaviti Sarvato, Braja Pare, they wandered everywhere in Vrindavan looking for Radhan Krishna. Not that Prabhupada said they ever said, now we found Radhan Krishna and our business is finished. Now we can go back to our normal business. No, everywhere they looked for Radhan Krishna, they were constantly searching for them. In other words, they were constantly feeling separation from them, and this way they got very intimately associated with them. Or here in the gopis of Vrindavan, we find that they're churning butter, or they're talking to each other, or they're engaged in their household duties, but they're feeling constant separation from Krishna while they're engaged in their seemingly normal activities. So similarly, whatever activities we have, if we simply chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna's transcendental pastimes, then that's the perfection of our Krishna consciousness. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, my sweetness is one... Oh, here Lord Krishna is saying, my sweetness is wonderful, infinite and full. No one in the three worlds can find its limit. Only Radhika, by the strength of her love, tastes all the nectar of my sweetness. Although Radha's love is like a pure mirror, its purity increases at every moment. My sweetness also has no room for expansion, yet it shines before that mirror in newer and newer beauty. There is constant competition between my sweetness and the mirror of Radha's love. They both go on increasing, but neither knows defeat. My sweetness is always newer and newer. Devotees taste it according to their own respective love. If I see my sweetness in a mirror, I am tempted to taste it, but nevertheless, I cannot. If I deliberate on a way to taste it, I have the position of Radhika. Who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before, and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered, upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it, like Srimati Radharani. So this is a text from Lalita Madhava. When Lord Krishna saw his beauty of his own reflection in a jeweled fountain at Dwarka. The beauty of Krishna has one natural strength. It thrills the hearts of all men and women, beginning with Lord Krishna himself. All minds are attracted by hearing the sweet voice and flute, or by seeing. Even Lord Krishna himself makes efforts to taste that sweetness. The thirsty one who always drinks the nectar of that sweetness is never satisfied. Rather, that thirst increases constantly. Such a person, being unsatisfied, begins to blaspheme Lord Brahma, saying that he does not know the art of creating well and is simply inexperienced. He has not given millions of eyes to see the beauty of Krishna. He has given only two eyes, and even those eyes blink. How then shall I see the lovely face of Krishna? The gopi said, O Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day, and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curling hairs, half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us. We consider the Creator, who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you, to be simply a fool. The gopis saw their beloved Krishna at Kurukshetra. After a long separation, they secured and embraced him in their hearts through their eyes, and they attained a joy so intense that not even perfect yogis can attain it. The gopis cursed the Creator for creating eyelids that interfered with their vision. There is no other consummation for the eyes than the sight of Krishna. Whoever sees him is the most fortunate indeed. O friends, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. The women of Mathura say, what austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of the face of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. The sweetness of Lord Krishna is unprecedented, and his strength is also unprecedented. Simply by hearing of such beauty, the mind becomes unsteady. Lord Krishna's own beauty attracts Lord Krishna himself, but because he cannot fully enjoy it, his mind remains full of sorrow. But fortunately, if we take up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then if Lord Nityananda, or if we study the books of the six Goswamis, then we can understand how to satisfy Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master, and his representatives, they engage us in the Sankirtan movement. So we satisfy the representatives of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda becomes satisfied, then the result is that we're able to enter into the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is constantly feeling separation. We may feel a little separation, but somehow or another, if we get the association of the Panchatattva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, Gadadhar, and Srivas and their followers, if we get their association, then we can actually experience what love and separation means. And that experiencing love and separation from Lord Krishna and Vrindavan with his associates, then we'll actually be in Vrindavan. gradually, step by step, our mind will be able to focus more and more upon the name, form, quality, and pastimes, and loving exchanges of Lord Krishna and Vrindavan. And that's the perfection of Krishna consciousness. It's not that when we become perfectly absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we may not even become any more expert than we already are in some of our activities. We're not going to get two heads or four arms, or anything else may change. Simply we'll be able to think of Krishna more consistently and intensely. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, this is Lord Krishna's desire, that he can enter into this mood of Srimati Radharani and actually feel her love and her appreciation for Krishna. So we also, that is our natural position. That Krishna, he was lamenting, somehow or another I'm Krishna, therefore I can't experience this love and separation from myself. But if I take the mood of Srimati Radharani, then I'll be able to do it and my happiness will increase unlimitedly. So we're very fortunate because our natural position is not only to, in the same mood of Srimati Radharani, in the mood of service to Krishna, but we're the servants of trying to become the servants of the servants of the servants. So that mood of feeling of separation, as it goes down, comes down through the simple succession, even intensifies more by apparently becoming more and more of a servant of the servants of Lord Krishna. That it's not that the mood diminishes as it comes down through the simple succession, but that feeling of separation actually increases even more. And therefore, one becomes even more intimately associated with Krishna through that mood of separation. Any questions? Thank you for listening. Yes.
Associate of Lord Chaitanya, we are so eager to bring in to the external consciousness when if they found him in a, such a state of ecstasy. Why it wasn't it a kind of disturbing him because he was experiencing such his pastime with Krishna, no? So why didn't he live like this and respect his situation?
Well, they love Lord Chaitanya. You know, when they saw Lord Chaitanya seemingly in a very unusual situation, just like, for instance, if you saw your beloved and suddenly they were in the ocean, drowning, wouldn't you want to save them?
Yes.
You wouldn't think, well, they're feeling so much ecstasy and separation. Let them drown. No, because out of intense love for Lord Chaitanya, they wanted to see him comfortable and in a nice situation. So when they saw that he was rubbing his face on the walls of the Gambira, trying to meet Krishna, not able to find the door, then they became very concerned because his face became hurt. When they saw that he had wandered into, when he was fell into the ocean at Jagannath Puri and his body was swept to that the temple of the sun god? Yes. So they became very concerned looking for him. And when the fishermen caught him in the net, they were, and he was a madman, seemingly ghostly haunted, chanting very loudly in the Shingadev prayers. When Sri Damodar saw, oh, here's a person, he's in ecstasy. He must have found Lord Chaitanya, because without Lord Chaitanya's association, no one could be so ecstatic. So then he slapped the fisherman a few times, got back into external consciousness and said, what's going on? So he said, well, I caught this ghost in this my net when I was fishing. Even though I'm chanting the Shingon mantra when I'm fishing, knowing it's quite a sinful activity, but for Lord Nrisimhadev to protect me, but somehow or another, this ghost entered into my net. As soon as it touched me, then I felt this electricity go through my body and I became mad due to the ghost's touch. And now I'm going everywhere looking for exorcist to take this ghost out of me. So Sarup Damodar said, oh, you must have found that ghost. So then he slapped him and said, where is that ghost? We've been looking for him. And then they found Lord Chaitanya there in the net all his limbs of his body had, all the joints had become loose, and therefore his body, instead of its usual 7 feet, had become 12 feet. So they didn't think, wow, look at that, he grew. No, they became very concerned out of love, and they began to chant Hare Krishna to bring him back to his normal state. It's all out of concern and love. Jagannatha Pandit, he could have said, well, he's God. So he, you know, whether he's a sannyasi or whatever, you know, whether he's on the ground, lying there, whether they give him a massage or not, he's God. Who, you know. No, because of their particular love for him, they never really thought like that. It would have interfered. So they wanted to give him all comfort, but he refused.
Yes. Is it necessary for a devotee or a disciple that his spiritual master or his Lord is satisfied with his devotional service towards them?
One time Prabhupada is, of course, the spiritual master should be satisfied. Not only the spiritual master. When we talk about spiritual master, it means one who's understood the science of Krishna consciousness. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiva vipra kiva nasi shudra kena nai ye Krishna tattva veda se guru hoy. So what is that science of Krishna consciousness? Is that the spiritual master is one, or anyone who is a spiritual master, Diksha or Shiksha Guru, or Vartma Pradakshika, he's understood that I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, coming to serve. Therefore, one who's understood that, as Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, in the last chapter of the personified prayers, that the neophyte devotee, he sees Krishna in the form of his initiating guru, or in the form of the deity in the temple. A Madhyamadhikari, he sees Krishna in the form of the devotees. He sees that when he has the association of the devotees, he has Krishna's association. And the most advanced devotee, the Uttamadhikari, he, when he's associated with anything, he thinks he has Krishna's association. Therefore, we're trying to come to the Madhyamadhikari platform. So, when Prabhupada was on a morning walk one time with Satsarupa Maharaj, Satsarupa Maharaj said that we see that there are many devotees, you have so many disciples all around the world. So how do they know by doing their service if you're pleased? So Prabhupada said, well, the temple president is there, the DBC is there, there's so many authorities there. In other words, for instance, Prabhupada set up the ISKCON movement and there's so many devotees. So if we're pleasing our authorities especially, then we should know that the spiritual master is pleased. Prabhupada is pleased by such service, certainly our spiritual master should be pleased also. So this idea of serving in separation also means to serve their instructions. So if we are able to understand how all the Vaishnavas at least are all servants of Krishna, and then if I please them, then Krishna will be pleased. If I please them, then the disciple succession will be pleased and Krishna will be pleased. So that's also service in separation. Not that it doesn't really matter what I do. When my spiritual master comes, I'm a complete angel and I throw the flowers and I fall down and tears are in my eyes. And when he goes, it's back to normal consciousness again. No, actually, we should always be, as Prabhupada once said, he said, I'm always associated with my Guru Maharaj. There's not one moment when he's not. And therefore, all his service was done in separation from his Guru Maharaj. And he said, but actually I have no qualification. Therefore, my Guru Maharaj, he has sent me so many representatives who I'm actually seeing as representatives of my spiritual master, and under his guidance, I've been appointed to train them up, but actually master, and by their service, then he was learning how to become a better servant that are being received through me. Therefore, I learn how to become a better servant to my spiritual master. Therefore, we should see all the devotees and we should try and appreciate them for the service they're doing and learn how to become a better servant of our spiritual master by seeing their service. And if we try to serve them and please them, if they become pleased, then we can understand that not only our spiritual master's succession will be pleased, and Krishna will be pleased and we'll be able to make spiritual advance in ourselves. Anything else? Yes. Is that clear?
My question is if there is a difference, or what is the difference between if Krishna is present and if we remember him?
There's no difference. The only difference is that we may think there's a difference. This is, you know, one is actually, if Krishna personally comes before us, just like we can read in the Madhurya Kandambini, in the 8th chapter, when Krishna personally comes before the devotee, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura describes it, that each one of the senses take on the quality of tasting Krishna fully. The sense of taste, the sense of sight, the sense of smell. One becomes overwhelmed by each one of the senses. One faints in ecstasy. And then Krishna, at one point, he bestows bhakti shakti and karunya, his mercy energy, so that one is able to simultaneously experience all the different senses unlimitedly and taste Krishna unlimitedly simultaneously with all the different senses. And then one faints again, and then Krishna, for those in Madhurya Rasa, he kisses them. For those in friendship, he lifts them up. For those in parental relationship, he wipes away their tears. And then Krishna displays Govardhan Hill, Srimati Radharani, all the different transcendental abodes, and then suddenly disappears. So that's quite an intense experience that the devotee is experiencing. But then, when Krishna disappears, the experience becomes even more intense. He goes completely crazy. Where is Govardhan? So there's a difference if Krishna is personally there and if he disappears. But there's really no difference, except that when Krishna, if Krishna is there and you experience such wonderful ecstasy and love at every second, unbelievably beyond anyone's conception. He said that before I used to praise you, but now I can see that my praise, compared to what you're really like, was just like compared to a small insignificant bird in Garuda, or compared to a mustard seed in Mount Meru. That my praise, practically speaking, was an insult compared to what you're really infinitely mad in love of God, completely feeling separation. So for now we may feel a little separation, but when we actually find more and more how wonderful Krishna is, then our separation becomes more and more significant. Something, then you don't know what you have lost. When you find something very valuable, when you have something very valuable, and then you lose it, then your lamentation is even greater. So the more Krishna reveals oneself directly, then the more one can feel separation, and the separation increases even more. The more one actually longs for Krishna's personal presence. Is that clear? So we're not against Sambhoga, meeting Krishna. Actually, we have to meet Krishna even in this. Now we have to meet him gradually. We have to get to know him through the deities, through the devotees, etc. But then when we find out that they're wonderful, we get a little taste for their association. Then when we're separated from them, then we can actually feel some separation, some genuine separation from them. Anything else? So it's been very nice here. This is the last day, so I'm going to spend 5 minutes talking about the last desire without reading so much. So the last desire, I forgot this is the last day. The last desire is that Srimati Radharani and Krishna and their relationship, Srimati Radharani only has a desire to please Krishna. And similarly, the gopis, they only want Radha and Krishna to meet each other. So Krishna also, he wants to satisfy all his devotees, but there are so many devotees to satisfy. But of course, he especially wants to satisfy Srimati Radharani. But her love is just like a laser. It's completely focused on Krishna. Similarly, all the gopis, their love is completely focused on Krishna. So in the relationship between Radha and Krishna, their love is completely selfless. They dress themselves, they bathe themselves, they put on their different decorations. Only the thinking, when Krishna touches my body, when he sees my body, he'll be pleased. Therefore, when Krishna sees the gopis, how wonderfully they're performing their service to please him, then he becomes very pleased, and his beauty increases. And when the gopis see, Krishna has become even more beautiful, then they become happy to see Krishna's happiness, and their bodies and faces blossom also. And then when Krishna sees how beautiful they're becoming, then his beauty increases also. Happiness increases, and they're happy, when they, etc., etc. It goes on eternally like that. And it's still going on. But gopis, in the hearts of the pure gopis, and headed by Srimati Radharani, and they're able to experience unprecedented, not only the qualities and the sweetness of Krishna, and know Krishna so intimately, more intimately than anyone can possibly know him, and experience their loving feelings increasing more and more, but along with this, their happiness is unprecedented. Although they don't want any happiness, but their happiness automatically comes because of their pure desire to please Krishna. And they're able to experience Krishna unprecedentedly, in an unparalleled way. And because Krishna is so sweet and his love is so intense, they're able to fully experience Krishna. And so much so that even if there's some impediment, then they become very disturbed over that impediment, even if it's due to ecstasy. As I mentioned before, that when Daruka, he was shivering in ecstasy, that ecstasy he thought was interfering with his service to Krishna. And he cursed that ecstasy. Why is it interfering with my service to Krishna? Therefore, their happiness is unparalleled. Krishna, Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So to experience that happiness, that Lord Krishna took the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As I said again, he didn't exactly take the form. He eternally has that form, and that form is to experience the love of his devotee, the unparalleled happiness that the devotee is experiencing, and the ability of the devotee to actually fully relish his own transcendental sweet qualities. Yes. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, the way it does it is by association. If we chant and we associate by following the instructions, then we associate with the previous acharyas. And when we associate with the previous acharyas, we'll go back and to the association with the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. And by that association, we'll get the association of the Panchatattva. And by the Panchatattva, we'll be able to remember the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates in Vrindavan. And then, by their association, automatically, all the good qualities will develop, including all these abilities like to chant like they do, because we'll be associating with them. Therefore, we'll be able to chant like they do. Krishna will give us all the intelligence by their association. Or the example is if you put an iron to the fire, the iron gets hotter and hotter and hotter and becomes just like fire. So when we're associating with Krishna and his associates in that way, then we become just like, we become spiritualized, and everything they're doing is able to, or most of the things, or some of the things that they're doing, will be manifested through us as they desire and as Krishna desires and as we desire. Yes. Yeah, he's not that. When Krishna goes away, he never goes away. He just apparently goes away, but he's always there. It's not that Krishna went away and he's watching. And no, he's actually there, as it says in his bhava form, in his feelings of separation. He's there. He's there even more intimately. Nanda Maharaj said that, Mother Jasoda was saying, you hard-hearted person, You know, how can you just sit there? You don't feel have any feelings for Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj said, no, just try, you know, calm down, Mother Jasoda. Don't you see that Krishna is personally right here, present? So in his madness of separation, he was seeing Krishna presently, right there, and present before him. So actually for the devotees, Krishna is they're never really separated from Krishna, apparently only. And they may think they're separated or feel like that, but actually in that feeling of separation, they're even more intimately united with Krishna. Yes.
Is the causeless cause of everything, and he split himself up in Krishna and Radharani for eternal. Can you see it as like Lord Chaitanya is actually the original?
You could. Any way you want to look at it. It's all right to look at it like that. That actually he's the original and he split himself up. And then he combined himself up again.
Yeah.
But since it's eternal, I don't think it really makes, you know. Either way is all right. So, it's very nice here. Of course, I'm talking about topics that I don't know anything about, hardly. But still, we have faith that just by talking about them, trying to explain them, then Lord Krishna will be very kind upon us, or more kind, and reveal to us something about what we're talking about. Otherwise, we couldn't say anything, at least nothing bona fide, that has any relevance. So, it's been very nice here trying to say something. Of course, it's just like a child trying to catch the moon. When a child is sometimes trying to catch the moon, then the mother takes a mirror out and shows the child, gives the child the mirror, and the child looks in the mirror and can see the moon and thinks, now I have the moon. So trying to understand these most elevated topics, in one sense, because there's nothing but Krishna, there's nothing but Krishna's energies, therefore, we're all moon. We have the moon in our hands in the form of the mirror, but that is the moon. That's what we're looking at, is the moon. So similarly, if we try to understand these elevated topics and see how it relates to our lives and how it can inspire us to make further progress so we can actually realize some of these things that Lord Krishna himself is aspiring for, to taste his sweetness, to taste the love that the devotees feel for him, to taste the happiness that comes from Krishna consciousness, that this is all everyone's expectations and desires. That's why we come to the Krishna consciousness movement. So we can feel that we're in good association, that Lord Krishna himself has the same desire as we have. And if we try to serve in the Sankirtan movement given to us by Prabhupada, as I said one time, one devotee wrote to Ramaswara, Nandalal, and he said that he was asking Prabhupada a question. And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, yes, that Ramaswara's Prabhu's or Ramaswara's idea that the book distributors distributing books and bringing people to Krishna in that way is the same mood as the gopis trying to bring Krishna, the other devotees to Krishna so they can serve him. That this is in the mood of the gopis. So we should understand that although it may seem like these are ordinary activities, worshipping the deities or preaching, but actually these are all very exalted transcendental activities in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. And if we try to understand through Prabhupada's books, try to read these books and understand how exalted is the Sankirtan movement and how fortunate we are to participate, then gradually we'll all come to the perfectional level of Krishna consciousness. That it's not simply meant for one class of devotees or one class of people, but Srila Prabhupada showed that anyone, anywhere, at any time, if they somehow or another can understand the value of the Sankirtan movement, take up the chanting of Hare Krishna, take up the devotional service of Lord Krishna, then all of us, any one of us, and anywhere, at any time, have the opportunity to come to the perfection of life and go back to the spiritual world. So, thank you very much for your association, giving me this opportunity to say a few words about this. and we hope to have your association more in the future. So by your association, I can find out a little bit about what I'm talking about. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki, Prasad ki.